swing, swing, swing here.
Oh, hammer that.
Give me some of this over the triple block. Yes.
That guy's going to swing no matter where he is.
Ace, it's over.
Welcome to Over the Top, your all-access view inside BYU Men's Volleyball. By the way, this is Steve Vail live on the synth every stinking week.
Every week.
I'm Jerem Jordan alongside a man wearing a long-sleeve compression shirt like Zach Eschenberg in the studio. Steve Vail!
You know, they didn't have compression sleeves when I played. I mean, we rolled up to our matches like in a covered wagon. But I did wear a long-sleeve shirt underneath for the same reason, because it did keep my shoulder warm. So I get it, Zach, and it works, brother.
The poorer teams would roll up in a handcart. Here's totally. The show lineup. We'll recap the sweep against Stanford last night, preview tonight's matchup again, Steve's wow moments of the week, 80s or 90s movie or TV show of the week. Hopefully you're keeping up at home on that one. Where Are They Now? Featuring Kevin Hambley, who's in the middle of the Stanford and BYU rivalry this weekend. And we'll chat with middle blocker Gavin Julian and head coach Sean Olmstead. So let's get you updated with the last week of Cougar volleyball. BYU played last week on Thursday and Friday, so this week is just about Stanford. And last night, BYU 1-3, cruised to a comfortable win by 28. It was really fun, Steve, because there were fans in the stands, 500-ish. BYU's had about 100 family members. There were Stanford and BYU family members, but also fans. And when they announced to the crowd, "Welcome back to the Smith Fieldhouse," I got real, like, I stood up and cheered and pointed at everyone.
I know, it was awesome.
I got really excited. And there was Tyler Thompson, who's a big fan of BYU Sports Nation. He tweeted, like, "That made my night." And I was like, "It made my night to have all of you here." Like, it was awesome. Really fun. Tons of juice.
It was. No, and that's so fun to have the fans here. And when you stood up and did that, I was like, am I supposed to stand up and do that? I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid to do that.
Are we doing this? Yeah, it was really fun. And it added to the match. Unfortunately, there was no drama for the fans to enjoy. It was just domination.
Yeah.
BYU hits 5-10, which is got to be top 10, 15 in the rally era. It's not in the top 5. That's all that's listed, so I can't tell you the exact number. But Zach Eschenberg leads the way, 8 kills. Hits 286. Gabby Garcia-Fernandez with 7 kills, 2 aces. Talen Tufunga goes 6-for-6 off the bench in set 3, by the way. I wonder if we'll see more of him tonight. Brandon Oberender, 5-for-5 in the middle. Davide Gardini, 4 kills, 3 aces, 3 digs, 4 blocks. So it was just good overall. BYU was just really solid and dominated in this win.
And they really did. And it was kind of fun to see Davide and Gabby kind of in a supporting role, right? I mean, their presence on the court is enough for most teams to, you know, be looking at them and taking steps towards them. But I love the fact that Talen went off and Zach was the kill leader of the night. That's so great. I think it's so awesome.
Gabby Garcia-Fernandez has 2 more aces, so he's now 24 away from the all-time record. We've talked about it. He needs about 2 aces per match, assuming that BYU is going to play multiple MPSF tournament games. And if BYU makes the NCAA championship game, should the Cougars make the tournament, that would add a couple of games as well. So he does need to go on more runs. Right now he's not really getting the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 serve ace matches that he had last year, but I think he'll break the record. It was truncated end of last year, truncated beginning of this year. So he's up against it a little bit. But if he's going to get that all-time record, we've got to kind of see that go now.
I totally agree. And even like tonight, I have a feeling if BYU starts to dominate, he's going to get yanked pretty quick. So
right.
He's going to have to just go off early.
Yes.
And get at least 2 or maybe 3 before he gets pulled and rested.
Let's talk about Stanford for a second. So they are cutting the men's volleyball program after this year. That's one of 11 sports that Stanford's cutting. They have 36, and also they'll be down to 25. They're the number one sports program athletic department in the country. They win what's called the Learfield Sports Cup every year, which is like, who's the best overall? It's really disappointing that Stanford's cutting the program, and there's a chance that they don't cut it, but it sounds like it's really happening. They start a month late because of county and school restrictions. The best player on their team, All-American Jalen Jasper, at opposite opts out. And it's being cut after the season. There's just kind of this cloud around this program that's really depressing. And they have some good young talent, but they're not going to have the program. And they showed up and played well in the beginning of the sets. But this was on cruise control, and it's just kind of a bummer to see this with Stanford, because there's been some great matches over the years.
Stanford has always been a powerhouse in the volleyball world. And it's seriously, like, I joke about not having a Kleenex in the room to talk about this. The reality is, it's a very sad thing for me. When I first heard the news, I was shocked. It was like having a relative die. I was like, what? No, this can't be. And, you know, there's a lot of support out there for them to hang on to it. And I just hope that they make the right decision and do hang on to it, because it's amazing. It's an amazing program and always has been. And this year has just been, like you said, it's just been kind of sad, because it's just, there's really nothing to fight for, you know?
Yeah. And BYU will match up with Stanford tonight, perhaps the final meeting ever. We'll talk to Sean Olmsted about that. Is there anything in the works there? Of course, MPSF tournament could be the last meeting if they match up there. So we'll see. For BYU, 9-2 now, 4-match win streak, 12 sets won in a row, Steve. So things going really well for the Cougars since BYU lost to Grand Canyon in match 3 of 4 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I remember talking about that. I was actually almost glad that they lost so that they would get out of the spotlight. And now that they are out, man, they're playing really, really well.
9 Eastern tonight, match 2 against Stanford. Okay, time now for Where Are They Now, a segment where we revisit Cougar legends of the past. Today we hear from 90s Cougar star Kevin Hambley.
Hi, I'm Kevin Hambley, Stanford volleyball coach, formerly BYU Cougar. My journey since I've left BYU in 95 was I was played professionally in France in Montpellier, and then I went on to started coaching, and I've been coaching ever since. UNLV, USA national team, went to the Olympics in Athens, coached at Illinois. All of those were an assistant coach. I was an assistant coach at Illinois for 5 years, head coach for 8 years, and I've been at Stanford for the last 4. Go Cougars.
Love it. First team All-American his senior year at BYU, and now the women's coach at Stanford. They won the Natty in 2019.
Yeah, Kevin is just a stud. He's such a good dude. We got to know each other a little bit playing outdoor, and I wish he'd come here and hang out. I'd love to hang out with that guy.
Seriously. Okay, coming up, Steve's movie recommendation of the week. We'll chat with perhaps the most interesting man on the team, Gavin Julian, who has a unique background, as Over the Top continues on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Over the Top. I'm Jerem Jordan with the Steve Ayle. 2.5 years ago, BYU signed a rising star on the USA Youth National Team, a kid from Milwaukee with few ties to the Cougars, but he's becoming a quality bench piece and likely a future starter. He is this week's Cougar Conversation redshirt freshman middle blocker, Gavin Julian.
A lot of people don't know you. You played a little bit. You redshirted last year, but now you're in the mix this year. So how'd you find out about BYU originally? How'd you get here?
Jalen, the old assistant coach, found me, probably watched me play somewhere, and then through all that, reached out, started talking to him for a little bit, and then when he left, talked to Micah, our assistant coach now. I just found out through playing volleyball in high school, and they reached out to me.
What was that like when BYU reached out? Because the Cougars have typically been a top 5 program, and here they want you, man.
It was pretty crazy. It all really happened really fast for me. It was like going into my junior year of high school, we played in a club tournament in California. It's a pretty big tournament. And my club team, we won our age group. And it was like the first time I think some not California team won tournament in however many years. And after that tournament, everything kind of like blew up for me. I got reached out to by a lot of other schools, and it was really overwhelming, and it was awesome. And it was crazy seeing BYU up there. Because they were one of those schools that, like, when I was first getting into volleyball, I knew about, because whatever they were in, it was basically them and Ohio State, and I always seen them in, like, the championships in those years when I was first starting volleyball. So it was really crazy having them talk to me. It was awesome.
Have you fought that perception, and is that a thing with you? And it has been for, like, the MEVA and the EIVA, those conferences of, like, hey, we can play too. Like, it's not just California and, like, Hawaii that have good volleyball players like yourself coming out of the Midwest.
Yeah, no, for sure. The Midwest is definitely a place where I think a lot of really good players do get overlooked. Probably just because a lot of the better schools, I mean, obviously Ohio State was really good for a while, Loyola was pretty good, but historically the best schools are out here in California and West Coast and Hawaii, obviously. And those coaches don't really get out to the Midwest very often. to see those kind of, to see those guys play. And yeah, I think when I first started doing USA Volleyball and getting that kind of stuff and just being more around the volleyball world, it was different not having that kind of respect because California kids always, I guess, get that, even though I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's just slightly different. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Tell us about your background, your heritage. Cause like speaking another language is not uncommon at BYU for returned missionaries, but you are a fluent Polish speaker. That's pretty cool. Tell us about how you know Polish.
Yeah, my mom was born and raised in Warsaw, Poland. Met my dad through a foreign exchange program in New York City when they were like 15. And they had started talking, sent letters for however many years until they got married. And yeah, I'm Polish and I'm Haitian. My dad was born in New York, but my family from there is from Haiti. And it's just a really interesting dynamic kind of being from two really opposite, not opposite, but different cultures. And it's awesome that I get to kind of bring those two together and have fun with both sides.
That's super cool, man. Have you been to Haiti or Poland?
I've been to both. Yeah, I've been to Haiti once.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've been to Haiti once when I was 12, I believe. And I used to go to Poland every year for almost 2 months up through middle school. Once I got to high school and started volleyball a little more, I haven't been back since. But I used to go every year for about 2 months until eighth grade.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. I am super happy you're at BYU, dude, because we need you. We need guys like you, Gavin, Julian. And it's not just obviously your skills, it's your personality. And that plays into this whole team, man. Like, I love the different guys who, yes, they're members of the church. There are a lot of dudes that aren't members of the church. Different countries, different. It's a fun hodgepodge. Like, what's it like on the court when you guys interact? Because there's a bunch of accents, right, in that huddle.
No, I think it's awesome. I love our team. I think it's, like you said, BYU is known as being this really, you know, 99% white school. And I think it's good that we have probably one of the more diverse teams in the country as our volleyball team, and like specifically. I think that makes us all better people. And it's really fun to hang out and talk to those guys. And yeah, there's accents, we don't really struggle that much. I mean, Davide, Gabby, Mickey for sure, Lipe, they're all great at English. They all talk, we all communicate really well. It's just really fun being out there with those guys.
I think Mickey speaks better English than I do.
Honestly, he probably does. He speaks crazy.
Like he's incredible, man. What's it been like this year to be able to play after redshirting last year and get in some matches and be in the mix to have more playing time?
It's awesome. I mean, I'm really grateful for every opportunity I get to play. It's really fun being out there. There's nothing more fun than competing and just, you know, doing what you think you do best. I love it. I love being out there. It's honestly a crazy environment, even without fans. And now that we're going to have fans in this upcoming match, but even playing without fans is crazy. It's so much energy, even though we have to create it ourselves.
Let's get to know you off the court. What's your major? What do you want to do?
I'm a public health science major. I'm not 100% sure what I want to do yet. I don't know if I want to go and play professional volleyball after college or do, but I'd really like science. I like health. I'm thinking about trying to go to medical school, but I'm not exactly sure. But I'm just kind of going through and taking every class as it goes.
It's early, man. It's early. And hey, Poland has amazing volleyball. So yeah. If you're a pro and you get a chance to play in Poland, that'd be incredible, right? Taylor and Brendan Sander are there from BYU right now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they have an amazing volleyball out there.
Okay, what do you like to do?
Outside of volleyball in school, I really just probably hang out with my teammates, just find time when I can to relax. I can't say I have any specific hobbies I'm super, super into. And, you know, I just love spending time with people, getting to know more people, and, you know, just having a good time when I can.
Do you have the best hair on the team?
I think I'd like to argue yes. I think I have the best hair on the team. I believe so.
Who comes in second then?
Who comes in second? I'd say Anthony Sherfan. I say
he's fun, dude.
He's a great guy.
He's like, he walks into the gym and he looks like a first team All-American, like physically, you know what I mean?
He's a big guy.
And then he's bouncing balls into the roof, and he's big. I'm excited to see him play a little more, man. It's going to be cool. Well, sweet. I'm super happy you're at BYU, man. When we signed you, I was like, this kid seems like he's awesome. Jalen Reyes was telling me about you for a few years, and great to have you at BYU. Very excited to see you sell off the court, on the court. We're going to have fun next couple of years, man, and thanks for joining us on Over the Top.
Thank you.
It's Gavin Julian, redshirt freshman middle blocker, had a kill last night, two blocks. He's likely a starter when the season begins next year, Steve. He's a backup player right now, but great to have him at BYU. There's a place for everybody, and he's got a unique background. Dad's Haitian, mom's Polish, and dad's an anesthesiologist, and so he's been around. He has a lot of experience.
Yeah, he's an explosive player as well. Like, he's really fun to watch out there on the court, so I'm excited to see more of him.
Okay, Steve says wow a lot during matches, so naturally it's time for...
This is Steve's Moments of the Week.
What do you have, Steve?
So, first of all, I woke up to about 4 or 5 inches of snow this
morning. Yeah, what the
heck? Which was like a huge, like, whoa, what
the heck? Utah March, it's like 70 degrees and sunny last Sunday.
Right?
6 days later, it's snowing. Come on.
Yeah, very schizophrenic is the weather up here in Utah in the spring. So, that fans last night on the floor or in the building, which was so fun. I mean, man, that we were so due to have some people in there other than janitors and coaches and whatnot. So, super fun to have the fans back in the stands. BYU's domination, man, how many sweeps is that? Not sweeps, but even just wins in a row. Awesome. Playing so good. Sad one is Stanford's cutting their program, it sounds like, as early as next year. And so that's really sad for me. And I love John Costi. They're always a powerhouse. And so the fact that that might not be a thing anymore. And then tonight might just be the last meeting between the two teams, which is really, really sad.
That was Steve's Moments of the Week.
Way to end on a downer, man. As we go to break, here's today's trivia question. The Cougars have 4 sweeps in a row now. What's the BYU record for consecutive sweeps? The answer after this timeout. Today's trivia question, the Cougars have 4 sweeps in a row now. What's the BYU record for consecutive sweeps? The answer, 11 in 2016. In fact, that year BYU had 17 total, which culminated in a run to the national championship match against Ohio State in Pennsylvania. The head coach of the Cougars that season, and since then, of course, is Sean Olmstead, who now joins us in our weekly Coach's Corner. Sean, that 2016 team was amazing. 11 sweeps in a row was incredible. Was there pressure to keep that streak going that year?
No, I really, you know, in the moment, you don't think about that. You know, they were interviewing me last night, and I think they're the ones that you know, told me, hey, we're now at 4 sweeps in a row. But honestly, you really don't look at it that way because you're in the moment, you're in each set, and you're working to just improve your team and get your team better and better. And so those things are always fun to look at after and you know, you've got it on your record and it's kind of in your back pocket, but you know, we're just trying to get better and better. And I know it's coach speak, but that's the reality of it. I don't know anybody that's from a coaching standpoint that's kept track of this many sweeps or, you know, this many 5 set matches. You're in that moment and you really don't recall much and don't look back on the sweeps per se as much as, okay, where are we as a team?
And you look at some of the national championship teams, 99 had 5 in a row, 01 had 5 in a row, 04 didn't get to 5. It doesn't matter. It's about winning, right? And Hawaii in 2019, which was one of the greatest non-champions of all time, they end up going 74 sets in a row, which was unbelievable. BYU contributed 3 that year. That was a dominating team. So that was an interesting season. I remember that night, Sean, it was like, will a young BYU team take a set from Hawaii? The answer was no. That team was pretty good, but a win's a win, right?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I do recall that one because that one was, you know, pubbed up a bunch, and that's a ridiculous amount of number. That's a high number.
Almost 25 in a row, just unbelievable. That's the NCAA record.
Wow.
Okay, so you get the sweep last night. This was one that maybe in the huddle it wasn't, you know, comfortable, but watching it, it was comfortable. You win by 28 total, 9, 10, and 9. What went so well to be able to get a sweep in that kind of fashion?
No, you know, I really like we put a real emphasis on some of the decisions Will's been making, and he's really made good decisions where you could see our middles were a little more productive. We were setting them at better moments and better opportunities, and then distributing the ball in some certain situations where we were getting the middle, and other teams were just very aware of what Will was doing. They kind of keyed in on that, and we weren't able to get the production out of the middle, which kind of opened things up in other areas. So you really saw that last night. You saw our hitters taking on a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and even our middles, you know, they were just attacking the ball a little differently. We've been working on that. It's been an emphasis for now for us for a couple of weeks. And, you know, we saw the results, and our passing was pretty darn good last night too. So that really contributed to it.
With you guys winning and just basically putting on cruise control last night, are we going to see anything different tonight, or basically the same lineup? And then if it gets kind of out of control as it was last night, maybe we'll start seeing some other guys get in again?
No, we're
and we know you love that conversation, Sean.
No. Hey, I'm okay. This is like, I told you guys, this is, maybe I should be careful with my use of words here. You know, it's like, we're not going to say, we're going to see some other guys. Yeah. I think I want to give some opportunities. I do like that. I don't want to get ahead of, we don't want to ever get ahead of ourselves. So we're going to see a lot of familiar faces, but I do think we're going to see a couple other guys. Yeah. From the start. And so that's been a discussion that we've been talking about. We've talked about with a few of the guys as well. And we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. That's called a tease in the biz. We look forward to seeing who exactly that will be. Yeah. We have an idea though, because a guy like Taylan Tufunga went 6-for-6.
He went off.
In the third set, essentially. Brandon Oberender, who got the start for Felipe Jabrito Fajeda, 5-for-5. He was good. I don't know what it is.
He was good.
He was good. He was okay. Davide Gardini, last year in the sweep at home, 7 sets. Last night, 8 sets. I don't know what it is with sweeping in Stanford, but Davide is just kind of over there doing his thing. More of a blocker last night, I guess.
Yeah, and he did just that, and we're okay with that. And that's, you know, kind of the things we've been discussing, you know, we've got to be better as a team. And, you know, in certain nights, you know, each of these guys play different roles. And so we've seen Gabby, you know, as usual, carry large loads. And then we've seen a few matches this year when Gabby hasn't had a typical Gabby performance and other guys have stepped up. So I was okay. You know, you look at the stat sheet last night and you think, you know, with the scores of the sets and kind of the overall performance, you think a guy like Davide is going to be hitting some ridiculous percentage, but he played a really good role. You know, he passed really, really well. And blocking, you know, he was there defending. He made some big time digs for us. He's been working on that, and we've seen him, you know, getting that 6'9" body, diving left and right. And
so fun to watch.
Those are the things that we've seen him improve upon. And so I think there was a couple swings that he got a little too greedy on that he'd like to have back. And that would have technically changed his numbers, although we're not entirely focused on numbers. But I think he did exactly what we'd want him to do in a performance like last night.
Yeah, well, it's almost like just having Davide and Gabby on the court, just their presence alone is enough. Just the fact that they're there as an option frees up these other guys that might get a chance to play, even though they're not starters per se. Those guys can still kind of go off on a night like last night, because those other guys, just their presence on the court is enough to spook the other team, you know?
Yeah, and we saw the other team, you know, we saw those guys doing that. We actually saw them doing that, you know, and so we set other ways, we set other guys, but they were taking steps towards Gabby, you know, on
right.
a good pass. They're both kind of bailing, even though Gabby, we hadn't set him in a few plays. And so that's exactly what happened. That opened things up.
That's awesome.
It allowed us to almost, you know, almost all of our swings out of the back row, from the middle, you know, the BIC is what we call it. I think most of them were uncontested for the most part, you know, because they were keying in on other guys and they were moving towards the other pins.
Zach Eschenberg leads the way with 8 kills. Did you like his new long sleeve compression shirt? That made all the difference, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, well, after you said that, I realized that the entire body was long sleeve. I mean, he had right? he had the compression of the legs, and yeah, he's that kid, man. He's battled through shoulder, just this a really, really tough shoulder, and that kid is in every day before practice doing his own set of things for a long time, and he stays every single day after practice and just has to do a ton of extra shoulder work, and even in practice it takes him a minute to get going. So he's really battled, and we appreciate him battling through it, but so he's just trying out a few different things, and they found a couple shirts that they wanted him to try out and see if that helped just kind of keep the shoulder warm. And you know, a lot of those things, I don't know how much they really work. Other, you know, maybe it's a mindset, a placebo effect, but he's been doing it. He's just been kind of steady Eddie, you know, that's what Zach's been. And a lot of matches, he starts out kind of slow, but he seemed to come around almost every single match and give us a lot of production.
Well, we look forward to the match again tonight, 9 Eastern on BYU TV. We appreciate time as always, Sean. And BYU Stanford, perhaps the last time ever, maybe the MPSF tournament, but you know, little tears going to come out tonight
for real.
Yeah, it's tough to think about that, but hopefully we get to play him tonight, and I would love to play him again, and we are considering going out there on the road. That is still in the works. So,
oh, cool! Didn't know that.
John and I have been in constant communication, so if we can fit that in to get out on the road, especially with a year like this where people are changing schedules and changing dates, I wouldn't be shocked if we do get, because I want to go play a match out there at Stanford. I really want to do that, you know. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
Oh, that's cool.
One final time at Maples would be great. Okay, Sean, we appreciate it. We'll see you tonight.
All right, thanks guys.
Thanks, Sean. See you, bud.
Okay, that's Sean Olmstead in our coach's corner. Perhaps we'll see a mix-up in the lineup tonight, Steve. A bit of news there.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a teaser. I like that, because that's the
He's
fun thing about
it. He's
learning the biz. Right? Well, and, you know, you see guys come out that you don't get to see very often, and then they go off, you know, like Talon last night. That's so fun to watch.
Yeah, his first cousin Mason's on the other side, so kind of a fun dynamic there. Okay, let's wrap things up with our 80s or 90s TV show or movie recommendation of the week by the one and only Steve Vail.
Just maybe a quick trivia. The two that I was thinking, they're
both. We
already
did that question.
They're both Tom Cruise movies in the 80s.
Okay.
Two of my favorite movies, and they're not Top Gun, neither of them.
How about
anyway,
you?
Those are the other two that I'm thinking of. But the one today was the first PG-13 movie ever to hit studios was Red Dawn.
And oh, Red Dawn, look
just
at
simply,
you.
Yeah, simply because it was, you know, basically World War III, a lot of violence.
Yeah.
Amazing movie. Still stands up. I don't know if you've seen it lately.
I saw the remake, too. Not as good.
No. That one's, no. The Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey and Charlie Sheen before he went crazy. Like, super, super awesome. That movie, like, go see it if you haven't. And if you have seen it again, because, man, I love that movie.
Yeah, that's an 80s classic.
For sure.
Okay, that'll do it for us. We'll be back every Saturday throughout the season. Saturdays, 2:30 Eastern, here on BYU Radio, on the BYU Radio app and where podcasts are found. For Gavin Julian, Sean Olmstead, producer Liam Howard, and Steve Vail, I'm Jerem Jordan. You've just gone over the top.